Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hands Off the Merchandise. I'm Foxy from Grapple Arcade, and I'm joined once again by our pal Jason Anstace from For the Love of Wrestling. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah. Very good. Nice to chat to you as well, just before we got started.
Cool, man. Yeah, it was good to have a bit of a catch-up, isn't it? And it's, as we've said, stranger times than our previous
discussion. Yeah, well, we've got time, haven't we? Everyone has at the moment.
Damn right, man. So, we were just mentioning there that our last chat was quite a considerable amount of months ago. Part of the fallout from the first Love of Wrestling. And we chatted a little bit about some of the names that had been announced for the second one. But I think at the time, there was only a handful of names that you'd established. And you dropped a couple of carrots. You were dangling a couple of carrots as to who else we might get in, but we can't confirm anything just yet. And since then, those names had come to fruition. But since then, things have changed again based on the climate that is Earth right now. So, sure. Yeah, man, how have you been in general? We'll start with that. How's things?
No, I'm great. No, really, really good, to be honest. I was saying, I work at the venue that we hold for the Love of Wrestling at. So, you know, when you work at an international conference centre, then you obviously aren't doing much during a pandemic. So a lot of our staff are off at the moment. We're all working from home, including myself. But it just gives me a lot of time to work on some side projects and events, for Love of Wrestling obviously being one of them. So no, I'm good. Same as everybody, just trying to do my bit, making sure you follow the rules properly, following the news, that sort of thing.
All you can do, really, isn't it, at the end of the day, and trying to make the most out of what you can, as you said yourself there. We've got more time to do things like admin-y based stuff, and whether it's social media stuff, there's more time. I suppose it's a case of you don't feel as pressured to get things in at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I'm trying not to feel, you know, there's a feeling sometimes where you can feel slightly guilty, because, you know, there is a percentage of the population, probably including some of the people listening, that are, you know, including, as we spoke about yourself, that are key workers that are doing so much. And you can feel a bit like you're not doing your part sometimes by just staying at home. But for the vast majority of us, that's really what we're supposed to be doing. That is doing our part. And you can feel a bit redundant and a bit useless in some ways. But it reminds me of before this all kicked off, I was joking with a mate at work about, you know, what happens in a zombie apocalypse. And, you know, our jobs were business development manager and like customer services manager. We'd be absolutely useless, wouldn't we? We're not, someone that's needed. So you can feel a bit like that sometimes. It kind of, when you've got some people out there that are doing so much. But I suppose our duty, for want of a better word, is just to stay in at the moment, isn't it? And make sure that we don't spread this. So that's what we're doing. Nice and doing it properly, strict here.
You're completely right, mate. And at the end of the day as well, one thing that you mentioned is that a lot of people, although there's a differentiation in terms of how things are, and in terms of maybe what's deemed as needed from society and jobs right now. I mean, honestly, don't play yourself down with the fact that we need, and everybody needs, things to go back to normal as soon as possible. And when those things do go back to normal, or whatever normal is going to look like in the next few months, we need services to be up and running and ready to get back into, because people are going to be like, honestly, they're going to be dying to get back
ready,
aren't they?
Be a bit of cabin fever. True. And that is one thing we love about the show, like For the Love of Wrestling. I've told you about a few times every time we speak. It's the atmosphere is so positive. So, no, I do love what I do. And events and conventions like For the Love of Wrestling are amazing, because, you know, just through the messages that people that will give us all the time, and the comments, how much they look forward to it. It's the highlight of a lot of people's year. So, you know, it's really positive being able to, I think this year more than ever, I think when people start to go to some of the things that they really enjoyed, I think there'll be that even greater appreciation for them. I think people will realize even more how much they enjoyed these things. And because now we're sort of missing even some of the most basic stuff that we got to do before. I think, you see then how events like For Love of Wrestling are a blessing, really. Once we're up and running, it'll be really exciting.
And of course, we were realistically good at what we're talking about. It was going to be like sort of three-ish weeks away from this
God,
weekend.
Yeah, we would have been ready to go, wouldn't we?
I'm looking at the site now.
Landing.
We're now 211 days and 13 hours away from the doors.
Yeah. Well, originally, so we got a few dates off when we knew we had to rearrange it. And we held off for as long as possible. Not that we were being stubborn or anything, but you know, you've got to see as the same as everyone else what's happening with the pandemic. So I wouldn't say we resisted, certainly not foolishly, but we didn't want to. We know a lot of people, for example, book hotels, and it was it's not an easy decision to make when you have to reschedule an event like that. But we knew it was going to happen actually just before Donald Trump put the flight sort of thing in place. That was the sort of final nail on the coffin. And then of course the government, you know, put the stuff in place, cancelling the large scale events. But before that, I think about a couple of days before that, we started to get messages off the wrestlers saying, look, I'm not comfortable coming. Some of the older chaps, you know, I think, you know, like Demolition sent us a message, and then one or two others. And, you know, and I mean, Andy called me about it and was like, we've got to pull this. I think when we got one off Goldberg saying, look, he'd like to reschedule, we kind of thought, well, yeah, even if by that point the writing was on the wall, you can't, you know, have a show with half the guests there. It just wouldn't have been right. We did the actually Liverpool Comic Con the week before, and we just, you know, I think we got away with it by a week or two. I think a week or so later, certainly 2 weeks, it would have gone. We just snuck in before things started going crazy. And we only lost a small handful of guests. But with this event, even if the government had stuck to it's now completely discredited herd immunity policy, and let these events go ahead, we wouldn't have done it. You can't, the talent itself just wouldn't have wanted to fly over, which you can totally understand. So yeah, we were prepared for a while to reschedule, and originally it actually looked at August. Andy had spoke to the venue that I work at, and they'd given him some dates in late August, which he was all ready to go for, but then he had a bit of change of heart. I think he was quite right about this, was quite concerned that that's actually really, it seems like a long way away, but I think we're all starting to realise now this is going to go on for quite a long time. And if he had rescheduled it for August, even if they'd lifted measures by July, it's only a few weeks for people to, you know, you only got a few weeks to really promote the event and for people to start, you know, booking hotels and booking their transport. So, yeah, he went with that date over Halloween, which was a quirky one, the 31st of the 1st. I know it's raised a few eyebrows with some of our talent in America because it's quite a big holiday for them. But yeah, so far it's been a pretty positive response. The refund requests haven't been too bad, to be honest. I think about a quarter of the people, everyone else.
That's always
going to
be a concern, isn't it? Especially with something of this magnitude as well. Just, you know, how many people are going to want to, you know, opt to take the money back. And thankfully, I think what you did right, in my opinion, and if we look at me as a spectator in this, I suppose, point of view, it seemed the right thing to do, and how quickly you did it as well, which I think was good, because there's still been a lot of umming and ahhing from a lot of other events. For example, I'm meant to be going to see WWE in May when they come over to the UK. Now, I don't believe for one second that that's going to go ahead, but the arena that hosts that haven't made any formal announcements yet. And I think a lot of that's to recoup damage and, well, to prevent damage and limit, you know, the damage limitations, I suppose, for want of a better phrase, in terms of how many people want to request a refund and things. So I think the way that you guys did it was spot on. Similarly to another team I work with Hooked on Wrestling, we do the wrestling pay-per-views up and around the country.
And oh, I do Paul Benson. We were working with him, actually, yeah.
Paul's a good guy. I do the Newcastle section of his live, the pay-per-view viewing party events. So we were obviously preparing for this weekend for quite a while, with it being one of our probably biggest weekend of the year for the events that we put on. And unfortunately, we knew that we would have to pull that. But because of the umming and ahhing, especially around WrestleMania over the last few weeks, has been really difficult to for anybody else to try and work out what to do for the best.
And these are you know, business owners as well. You know, it's hard for them as well. It will be, there's only so much I can say about this, so I've got to be kind of careful how I talk about it. But there are a lot of conventions at the moment that are in a difficult position, because the way it works with the ticket agent is, in most cases, they will have been advanced the money that's been paid already. So if you've got a show that's going to do 10,000 people and you've sold 3,000 tickets, in the vast majority of situations, that the money for those 3,000 has already been paid to the promoter. They get advances, but then it depends what they've done with it. If they've then spent that money on the show, that might be fine. It could be recoupable, or it could be that say they've spent that money on artist deposits, well, they're not going to get that back because they're saying, well, we're rescheduling the show. So then all of a sudden, if half the people want their money back, have they got the money themselves to pay them back? So that's why there are quite a few conventions that I think have been a bit sneaky with, you know, how they're responding to that. They're making it, they're not being very upfront with how you get a refund. They're trying to say, oh, we'll give you credit instead. There's loads of stuff going on at the moment, setting deadlines, and it's not right. It really isn't right. But it's because, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty certain it's because the promoter isn't sat there with the money. So when they have paying it back, they've got a problem. Fortunately, you know, Andy is, he doesn't just do these events. He owns his own venue. He's got other income sources, and he more than company, you know, could always says he could, and any convention he puts on, he could run the whole event and then get the money at the end of it, if you see what I mean. He can kind of bankroll at each of those events, which is what you need, really. And same with another company mentioned called Showmasters. You know, they're quite stable, got been running a long time. They're in the same situation. You know, you buy tickets for events like that, they're pretty secure. And I think he was really, really keen that the refunds were going to be quite upfront. And, you know, a lot of people have actually asked for a refund. They've even said it's because of the uncertainty right now, but they're hoping that they'll just be able to buy their tickets back, you know, later on down the line. So I'm hoping that that'll be the case for a lot of people, even some of the ones that have asked for a refund, that, you know, once we get up and running again, maybe August, September, that they'll feel they can buy a ticket, they can buy their tickets back. You hope so.
I think you're bang on with that, and I think they probably will. It's the kind of event that you don't want to miss, if you see what I mean. It's the kind of event, it's not one of those things that happen every few months or every couple of months where you can just dip in and out of it as frequently as you want to. We might pop along, we might not. It's not one of those. It's kind of, for a lot of people, it'll be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet very particular wrestlers who are coming over to Europe's, if not, in my opinion, probably the world's biggest wrestling convention in terms of the name and name power of the people who are there, the sheer amount and everything that's going on, compared to some of the other events that I've attended over the years, whether it be stateside in Europe or England. This, for love of wrestling, last year, the first one that we all ran, we all did, we're all at, I think everybody was like, bloody hell, wow. So, that people have an idea of what to expect if they've already been, and they know from the people I've spoken to that it's not one to miss. So anybody who has asked for a refund, I personally can't help but think it's probably legitimate concerns, as you say. You know for a fact that they'll want to be buying those tickets again as soon as things start to settle down.
I think that's likely. Yeah. I think it's likely. And as you said, it's not just that it's a great show. And it is annual, but it's not the sort of event. It's not like, say, Disney World, where, I mean, we had a family trip to Disney World. We're going to go again now, I don't know, November, December, whenever we can. Yeah. But, you know, I know that it's going to be the same, even if we went in 2021, than if we went this year. With the wrestling show, it's a different lineup. If you want to meet Jeff Hardy, we got Jeff Hardy this time. We may not have Jeff Hardy next time. We may never do Jeff Hardy again. We might do, but I definitely think if people's favourite wrestlers are on now, we get a few people asking us, oh, you're going to get Ric Flair back. Well, maybe one day, but we're not going to put Ric Flair on every single year because it's just diminished returns. Next year, a lot of people say, well, I've met him now. I'd rather spend my money on a different guest. So if we do start to repeat some guests, which we'll have to do over time as the event keeps progressing, because there's only so many wrestlers out there, we'll start to look at different doubles. So if we get Rick back, we might do Rick and Charlotte. We might do the Four Horsemen. You might do, I don't know, Rick and Sting. You'll try and Rick and Steamboat, maybe. You'll try and get some more rare double pictures for people or different combinations. So, but it means each event's totally unique.
Definitely. And I think that's what's stood out from the event that you were doing this year, from other conventions that I've seen yet again, is the opportunities that have been on the cards, if you like. I mean, I appreciate that things might change a bit, and we'll get into that shortly in terms of what happens at the end of October. But like one of the things that you mentioned there as well, it's not like going to Disney World, as you say, because you know what to expect. It's going to be the same thing on offer. Things will be tweaked, things will be polished differently, things might have a slightly different theme to them, but it's still Disney World. You know what you're going to expect. You know what is to come from it, and you know roughly what kind of experience you might have from it and who you're going to see there, and there's Mickey and there's Goofy or whatever else. Let's be honest, if we're completely brutally honest, wrestlers, how is the nicest way to say this? They're not guaranteed to always be there every year. Shall we? Is that the most nicest possible way of saying that? You know,
honestly,
wrestlers from the 80s and 90s aren't getting younger. Let's say that's probably an easy way.
And we had a say with one particular faction. We haven't booked them this year, though we might for October. And the agent, we sort of said, oh, look, you know, we're a bit close to the event now. Maybe we'll look at next year. They said, look, I can't go into detail, but you're not going to get them all next year. And I don't know which of the, I'm not mentioning the faction. I'm not saying which one it is in the faction. But you know, when you hit and you hear that and you go, ah. So, yeah, that means obviously one of them's not well. And yes, it's going to happen. You know, we know without getting the conversation too depressing, the mortality rate amongst wrestlers isn't particularly great, is it, at the best of times, because of what they put their bodies through at the time. And
absolutely,
yeah, it is I think it's just about being thankful to be able to meet some of these guys, yeah, while you get the opportunity.
Absolutely.
I've always been, like I said, my favorite wrestler of all time has always been Hulk Hogan. And yeah, I hope I get the chance to meet him one day, considering the amount of gear that he put through his body, the amount of abuse he's taken, you know. And the guy seems in great health, but I know I'd be gutted if I never took that chance. So, and I was actually going to meet him too. I was going to go to WrestleMania this year. We were all set to go, and I was going to meet Hogan out there. He was doing a signing at his beach shop. So, yeah, just one of those things. Hopefully, I'll still get the chance. Maybe
absolutely.
Go next year.
Fingers crossed for that one. I'm sure I'm not the only one who also agrees with you with that. Well, if you want to, should we have a little sort of run through some of the names that we know? You guys have announced that we know we're formally kind of part and parcel of who we're going to be meeting. I'm not going to put you on the spot to ask you who's not coming now or anything like that.
No, I can answer it because, again, it's all about being transparent. So anyone who said to us, I can't make the new date, then we've pulled them so far.
Of course.
I think we only had, one so far. Who was it? Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I believe Medusa is.
That was it. Yeah. She'd booked a cruise with her partner, so couldn't do that date. But again, you know, we'll just move that to 2021.
Absolutely.
For the rest, there's one or two that are like, look, let me check the date. There's a few that you can understand are saying, look, unless they're coming out now and saying no, I won't do it, then we're leaving them on. And the vast majority of them have either said they're completely fine with the date, or they will be fine with the date, but just let us know close to the time. It's unlikely someone's going to instantly come in and go, yep, great, book my flights with the way the world is at the moment. You know, we've got to see what happens. If this pandemic is still exactly the same, I'm sure it won't be, but in August, September, then our event, like everyone else's, will move, you know, it'll get moved back even further. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the end of October, we're going to be fine. But yeah, you've got to wait and see. But no, the indication from all the others is either look, fine for the date, leave me on, or look, let's chat a bit closer to the time. So we're only taking people off if they're saying we cannot make that date. And in those cases, they are going to get replaced. And the intention is not to do a reduced show. So yeah, someone will know if someone was keen to meet Medusa, she'll be on 2021, and we'll get a replacement for this year. I know we've already messaged. I mean, the same agent's got, I don't know, you know, Melina, Molly Holly. It's got a load of formerly divas, but sort of female wrestlers on there. So we'll be able to find a good replacement. But again, you can get a replacement, but it doesn't seem a good time to announce them. So there's one or two that have come back. I mean, the example we used was Ken Shamrock. So he couldn't do the date. He'd sold amazingly. Couldn't do the date because of that Impact pay-per-view. He can now do the new date, we believe. But we're not going to announce him, even though, it's looking good for that date, because it's just a bit of a crap time to do it. So at the moment, we're just leaving it all in not limbo, but all in a bit of a holding pattern that, if they're still on the poster, if they're still on the site, it's because we believe they're still able to attend.
Well,
and they've indicated that.
That's all you can do, mate.
And I know we're going to talk about some of the big names from the WWE. We've had a good phone call with our contact at the WWE. Really interesting phone call, chatted a bit about Mania, a few other things. And he did say, look, so far that date was done in conjunction with the WWE, because as good as our lineup is, there are some we can replace. there are some that we really don't want to. And, you know, the likes of Big Show, Jeff Hardy, Shawn Michaels, you know, Kurt Goldberg, the guys that are more affiliated to the WWE, our headline names, those are the ones that we really need. Yeah. So, yeah, they're all, we checked that date with WWE. And for even, you know, D-Von, Mike Rotunda, they work for WWE as well. So, you know, it was vital that we picked a date that worked for them. And they were pretty comfortable with that date. So, and they did indicate, again, what, they're not going to come back and go, yeah, all the guys, 100%. They did say, look, that date works for us. And that, in our opinion, all of our talent that have confirmed are going to be very keen attend, because they'll feel like they've given their word. They say they're going to meet the fans, and they're all very quite what's the word, like principled, like that. Mm-hmm. They'll feel like they've given their word to attend the show, so if they can make the new date, they're going to make that new date, which is great.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic. Well, what I'll do now is I'll run through the names that are announced and that we've
some
got
big ones, didn't we?
Just a few, mate.
We had a blast. We were quite excited when we started putting those out, because trust me, I read every message that we get and every comment, and I'm like not the calmest person in the world. So when I'm reading all this stuff going, oh, our lineup's not as good as last year, and you know, and you're reading, so I'm thinking, you know, oh, I was going to swear then, but I'm thinking, you know, F off, you know, I know what we've got coming. And why do people like compare three quarters of a lineup to a full lineup last year? It's like, well, of course it's not as good yet. It's not finished, but you have to be careful what you're going to say. Time, I know that we're, you know, we had conversations with WWE for a long period of time, and you know, the guy there, absolutely brilliant, I won't say his name, but our contact there, really straight with us, and was like, look, give me time, you know, we give him a list of names that we wanted, and we would just have to wait until he pulled through for us, and he did, got us you know, three off the list that we wanted.
You can't ask for more than that, really. I mean, it is star-studded. Didn't anybody that for whatever reason still doesn't believe that this isn't as star-studded as last year, is a bit deluded, in my opinion. I don't think you'll ever please those people. We all have to appreciate that some people have got different bucket lists to other people. It's as simple as that. That's the nature
Absolutely.
Of the beast.
Yeah, yeah.
But to say it's not as star-studded or is not as amazingly star-studded, and just the sheer magnitude of the names on the card are fantastic. So, as you mentioned there, Shawn Michaels, Bill Goldberg, Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, Big Show. Those names alone, I mean, it's a Glastonbury headline act, that, isn't it? You know, it's that level of hugeness. It's the megastars. There's no fillers in everybody else I'm going to read here as well. You've got arguably one of the biggest names in a non-WWE company, being Kenny Omega. You've got some of the biggest divas and female wrestlers from past years and present years gone by. So Tori Wilson, Victoria, Candice Michelle, Trish Stratus, ECW Hardcore and WCW Legends, as well as WWE Legend, Raven, Scott Levy, Lanny Poffo, Scott Rick Steiner. I mean, you're going down the list and then Scott Steiner jumps out of you.
I know.
It's just cracking.
You forget, don't you? I mean, we've said all this, we've not even mentioned the Dudley Boys, that are, you know, one of the biggest tag teams of all time. It's mad, isn't it? And as you say, the Steiner, Scott Steiner was huge. I saw that as one of the, you know, borderline headliner names. I saw him in the same way as, actually, when we were chatting last year, me and Andy, about names, and he was saying, oh, I've, you know, speaking to Sid, you know, what do you think? I was like, mate, that's a big name. You know, it's one of those that you couldn't call it your headliner next to The Undertaker. This guy's headlined two WrestleManias.
Yeah.
You know, massive.
Oh,
he's a great name.
That's just in WWF as well. You know, if you're a WCW fan, he was a major player in a main eventer and a world champion in WCW as well.
Absolutely. And had a run at ECW, didn't he?
He did indeed.
Yeah.
He did indeed. And he
over an ECW, you'd think he'd be like the antithesis of the sort of wrestler they would like, you know, guy never really known as a worker, but he would just sort of come in, powerbomb people, and they absolutely loved him.
That's what I loved about ECW, though. There was the rebellion, and I'm a diehard ECW fan. And what I find brilliant about ECW fans is, though, you could bring any wrestler in there and it'd pop like crazy because it's just such a shock. And that's what it was. And I think
Like,
you should come in, powerbomb somebody, do your typical, you know, Bam Bam-esque style spot of throwing Spike Dudley 25,000 rows back, and then he'd be off. You know, he'd come in, choke slam somebody, then he'd be off.
But it was all you needed. You didn't want him in a, you know, a match with a lucha or something. It wouldn't have made any sense.
Of course not. And let me just say as well, props to actually getting him signed, because I know personally how difficult it is to get in touch with Sid, considering he doesn't do any emails, he doesn't have a mobile phone.
He only has a house phone.
He's got a house phone. And when we spoke, we had an interview with him a while back, and when we chatted with him, well, when we were trying to get in touch with him, he'd answer his house phone. Hello. And you're like, you're right, Sid. And you just have that bit of conversation. And then he's like, yeah, sounds good. I'm actually going out fishing tonight, though. So can we just make a rain check? Cheers, guys. And then you'd be like, right, well, I can't message him to sort of say, all right, well, I'll give you a call at this time on this day then to give you a heads up. So
you've got to call him back on his house.
And it was just nuts. So the fact that you've managed to kind of arrange a booking
that
with
Andy, Andy had a series of conversations with him, and I know on lots of podcasts since he's been really complimentary. But I think he's again one of those guys who's very much got his guard up and been sort of messed around. And there are certain things you had to put in place with him, with the type of I won't say which ones, but there are some wrestlers that you have to fly business class just for the size of them. They are not getting in extra legroom seats. And Sid's an example. You know, the guy's what, 6'9", 6'10"? He's not coming over if you don't book him a business class flight. So there were, I think it was more a case of his requirements were all met with everything, really, with the money, situation. So he was happy to come across, and I think he was treated really well when he was over. So no, he was great, actually.
Well, every single person who appeared have spoken very highly of the event since, in terms of...
They have, haven't they? No, that's lovely. Yeah,
they really have, mate. They really have. There's been not one ounce... In fact, it's not even been like a case of... Usually you get negativity or nothing, or the occasional person saying, yeah, that was great. It's just been a resounding, that was great. By everybody anybody that we've had any contact with, at least anywhere, and most of all with
Mark Calloway. You know, you think we've done two other events with him since then. Monopoly have, so Andy's company's done. He did a show with him in Germany, and he did a show with him in Scotland as well. And you could see the difference. Like the first one, nice fella, always a really nice guy, but the first one you could see was a bit unsure what to expect. And by the second, third one, it was like, quite enjoy this. And you see with him in particular, what he really enjoyed was the meet and greets, where there's 20 people in a room and he's just answering questions. And I didn't get the chance to ask him about this, but I know the WWE rep was saying, for so long, this is a guy that's so you know loves wrestling, that's got such a knowledge of the business, so many stories, and just because of his character, he's never been able to say any of these stories. Yeah. So he's actually really looking forward to this phase of his career now, which, and they haven't said this to me, but this is what I think. You can see there are changes in his character now. He's becoming a bit more American badass, a bit more, I don't know if they're doing a bit of a mix of his character now, where he's kind of a bit dead man, a bit badass. And you can see that they're gearing him up towards that. And I think this is what he'll want to do, you know, and I'm sure if Andy and Monopoly do more shows with him, which they're planning to do, I think it will be based around, you know, more of that sort of more intimate experience and sort of the Q&As, the kind of thing that Kenny does with Inside the Ropes. I think we're going to see a lot more of that with the Undertaker, because I think he's got a lot he wants to say. It's been so many stories that he wants to that he wants to get out there now.
And you don't get to say them either. That's what's the beauty of it. He's whether it's something like what he's done with yourselves, whether it's something like what he's done with Austin on his podcast show. It's just, he's very happy to chat, which is great. And it's not something you'd expect. And I think with somebody like him, you expect him to be guarded, not just because of his character, but you just think he's a bit more old school. He's probably somebody where he's not just his on screen character, but his character backstage, as well as the sort of ringleader, if you like, as the kind of the governor. Yeah. Things to get done by the book, you do what you're told, that kind of stuff. How he is with their wrestlers and crew backstage, everything that you hear about him, it makes you think, I bet he's difficult to work with because he's always got his guard up. And I think that's probably what our assumption is.
But honestly, it's the absolute opposite. You know,
incredible.
You know, everyone with the team went out for a meal. You know, the guy's really good company. He's not, not someone that would sat there sort of vivaciously chatting away, but he's, you know, he's perfectly friendly. Some really good stories, and just definitely an all round good guy. I was saying, I mean, it wouldn't have been on this this podcast, but there was a cool moment when Kane was meant to turn up to the Germany event, and his flight got cancelled. And Kane was going to do the Q&A part, because at this time we were like, well, you know, the Undertaker can't appear on stage at the moment. Mm-hmm. And he was absolutely adamant. Look, he's like, all these people are expecting, you know, a Q&A part, and they're not going to get it. And not everyone had, some people had paid just for the Q&A. So he's saying, well, I'm not letting them all go disappointed. So I'm going to go on stage and do a bit. Which at the time we were like, wow, are you sure you can? And, you know, the WWE reps were all a bit nervous. He's like, yeah, he was like, I've text Vince. See if that's going to be okay.
You know, I'll text Vince.
I know, at the time. And I'm like, as a lifelong wrestling fan, you know, I can't look like really uncool. So I'm just like, you know, like, yeah, great, cool. Yeah, that sounds good. And then it's kind of come a bit towards the event, and we had SoCal Val as the presenter, and she said to everyone in Germany, look, no cameras, all cameras, you know, this is a rare thing. He hasn't done this before. You're going to get a treat today, but the Undertaker's going to appear because Kane can't. But put your phones away. And then there were just a load of us all around the outside. And if someone was trying to, you know, take pictures or record, we just stopped them. Only two or three did. I think people in Germany are much more like, they'll listen, they'll agree a lot more. It would have been, if we'd done that in England, like three quarters of the room would have just got their phones out. And we'd have
had carnage, mate. You'd have had carnage.
Yeah, yeah. In this, they all just listened and, you know, and stuck to the rules. But he agreed to do it, came out, did 20, 30 minutes on stage. Really interesting. Obviously everyone absolutely loved it. Proper goosebumps, you know, when he came out to his music, and again, so they didn't have to do it. And then maybe an hour later, while we were doing the signing part, he was like, hey, I got a text. So I checked, and we're like, it's Vince. Everyone's like going, oh my god, this is a bit weird. And he was going, and then he did sort of say, he was like, it's fine. And like, and then said the W reps going, you're fired though. Obviously he was joking. But and it was, and the rep kind of spoke to us after, and he was saying, he was like, it's mad. He went, no one will kick off about this, because, you know, obviously Mark's asked in advance, and, you know, no one took any film of it. It was fine. He went, but I will probably get asked by my boss. Vince McMahon wants to know why The Undertaker just texted him from Germany on a weekend. And it'd be like, yeah, fair enough. Does seem a bit random. But it was, it's cool. Really nice. Yeah, no, really, really nice guy. I think when he does eventually do these Q&As, I think they're going to be amazing. I think from everything I've seen, he's very warm in that, as I said, more intimate setting. He liked answering questions. You can see some wrestlers look, you know, a bit pissed off by it. He seems to actually, because I get the feeling it's not like, oh, I've given this answer three dozen times. For him, it's like, I've waited 30 years to talk about this stuff, so I'm going to tell you what it was like. I had a brief conversation with him about, you know, the Mankind match. I won't go into it because I'm sure he'll talk about it at a, you know, another time. But, you know, that sort of fascinated me because he hasn't really spoken about that stuff before. You know, what did it feel like to you when you've lobbed him off that cage? Did you actually look down there thinking, have I just killed this guy? No, but people will get to hear it, and when they do, it'll be amazing. I'm talking about last year's show now. I should be talking about the one coming up.
Oh, it's all good, man. But the thing is, I suppose it whets people's appetites, doesn't it? Because we've got the good thing is this time around, mate, that we've got something to actually talk about that's happened already, compared to, you know, just true, looking ahead. But while saying that, though, before we got derailed a bit there with Mr. Taker, we were just mentioning there, I got down to Scott and Rick Steiner. Now, you talk about names. Scott Steiner, for me, is, put it this way, I'm not going to give away what I've bought yet, because I don't want everybody else to go and do the bloody same. I want to keep it a surprise. But I've got something quite special that I want these guys to sign. And I'll tell you about it later on. But yeah, Scott and Rick Steiner, I'm really excited to see these. Everybody's, like I say, I'm excited to meet bloody anybody who's entertained me as a wrestler throughout the years. I'm always giddy to meet people, and very, very appreciative that they're coming over. So anybody's a bonus for me. But these two are definitely high on my list of people I want to say hello to, mainly because I think there's that conception as well, that you're just not quite sure what you're going to get from them. The kind of characters that they've portrayed over the years, especially with Scott, that you know, you hope that you look at him the right way, or he might tear you in your asshole or something. Like, you know, he's got that personality.
I've seen him at an event before, and he's quite intimidating. And that's one of the reasons that we've got, you know. So I mean, there's going to be a few different people. Well, yeah, but no, we've got some big security. But we've got one of our guys who does the security for the Undertaker is. Guy called John, real cool guy. He went to Germany with his ex paratrooper and a dog handler as well. And he's a big dude, big, you can imagine, big, scary looking guy. And he went to the gym with Mark because he wanted to go to the, you know, wanted to go lift some weights. Imagine that, you've been like in a fitness first gym in Germany and the fucking Undertaker walks in with a massive member of security. And this guy, John, is a big dude. And he was like, I lifted with him. He was like, he's a strong boy. I was like, who's stronger? He was like, I'm about 80-90% what he can do. He was like, so we know we could lift at the same amount. He was like, but if I was doing 6 reps or something, he was doing 10. It's like, wow. But yeah, but no, with Scott, I think what we've done this year, which I think is a really good idea, is we've got a few different hosts and presenters. So last year it was the guys from Wrestling Travel and it was Kenny. So I think they'll be from Inside the Ropes. They'll be doing bits again, but the person who's doing most of the interviews is going to be SoCal Val. That's going to make so much sense because I was chatting to her about it. She did the presenting for us at Liverpool Comic Con, and we were talking about guys like Scott, guys like Bully Ray that have got a real reputation. And you could imagine, you know, that some of these guys from Inside the Travel, Kenny, are great guys. And Kenny, you should be fine. But if Scott or Bully decide they're not going to talk to you, they don't like you, then you're not going to get anything out of them. That's going to be the worst in-ring interview. You know, they can make it quite clear they don't want to do it. And she was saying Val will get something out of them. She's known them for a decade. She's worked with them before. She'll get a great interview out of those guys. Same as with Jeff Hardy. I think she'll get a really good interview. So I think for that, I'm really looking forward to their Q&As, more because I think that, yeah, guys that previously I thought could have been a bit of a car crash, I actually think she'll get a lot out of.
I think you're bang on the money with that one. And as soon as you mentioned a name there, you're right, it made so much sense just because of this TNA stint, if nothing else, you know.
She was there a decade, wasn't she?
Absolutely,
there a long time.
Man. And not just that, she's bloody good at what she does as well. And that's not meant she's to excellent. Sound condescending or anything like that. She literally is bloody good at what she does. And
she's
in
a
my
professional
opinion,
presenter. I mean, she really saved us in Germany. She was so good, you know, to do an event like that where she had to fill for ages because, you know, Kane not talking up, not turning up, said not his fault, the flight cancelling. But yeah, she's so, so good.
She's very underappreciated, I think, in the business personally. In terms of,
well, she's used quite a lot now. She does quite a few conventions, but
she does.
Yeah, we're gonna use her now for all of the Comic Cons and
excellent,
you know, I think it's something that Andy was keen to do. He uses, you know, he's got other presenters as well, people he's worked with for some time. Sometimes there's multiple stages, but
yeah,
but it is important to use Val. I think she's a real step up.
Really looking forward to that. I know, again, from the pay-per-view party events and things, she's involved with that side of things as well. She's class act. That's great to hear. There you go, from the Steiners into the Nasty Boys. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. The Nasty
Honestly,
Boys
I love it
and Money Inc. Just, you know, yeah, just casually
Big
the Nasty Boys
teams.
And Money Inc. Just,
the,
you know,
the Nasty Boys makes me laugh because, and, you know, I've said before, Andy doesn't watch too much wrestling. He knows the Nasty Boys from when he watched them as a kid. But I love, because he's, I've not spoken to them at all. He deals with them. You know, they're ones where he's dealing directly rather than an agent. The odd agent I'll speak to just to sort of, you know, help him out, give a bit of support. But there are a few, like Nasty Boys Demolition, he's just talking directly to the guys. And he'll message me. Just been on the phone to that one of them Nasty Boys. Didn't know which one he's talking to. He's like, he's mad, isn't he? So I could just imagine some of the conversations they're having. I think, put it this way, I definitely think they'll be at the after party.
I think you're bang on the money with that one.
But again, another one. They are running TNA. So again, you know, even if they are tricky, if you know, again, if Val is the one doing the Q&A with them, I think she'll get a lot out of them.
They'll play ball. I think the class, they were scheduled to be over in the UK. I think it was last year, but they cancelled that. And I was gutted about that because I was really looking forward to meeting them. I think it was just like a meet the Nasty Boys kind of night rather than it being part of anything else. And I don't know if it was a tour, if they were just at one or two places or something, but I believe it might have been in Leeds or the Midlands or somewhere.
It was a little mini tour they were doing. I think they were doing a few appearances at some There was like some independent wrestling shows. No, yeah, but they're definitely coming back for this event. They're all set for it.
Now, I know DiBiase's obviously a returner, and a few people have thought, well, we got to meet him last year. I personally don't think you can meet the Million Dollar Man enough. I think he's got enough wealth there to spread it. And the fact that he's coming not only with his son this year, but for me, IRS has joined him. And that
just an early example of what I spoke about. Yeah, just you know, if we do get Rick back, it'll be with a different joint photo. And Andy spoke to Ted a lot, actually, I think during the event and after the event, really got on with him. And he had mentioned at the event, you know, if we do another one of these, you know, bring Ted Jr. with me. And when it became clear that Mike Rotunda was available, then seemed, a great idea, really good opportunity to bring Ted back. Said people that saw him last time, got the picture with Virgil. If you're a fan, then it's a different sort of part of his career, having the picture with Mike Rotunda. And the picture with his son, again, that's pretty unique. I'm not sure if he's done that before. And actually, Ted Jr., when you look into it, I mean, he had a pretty decent career himself.
If you followed the sort of the mid to sort of mid-teens, 2000s, then you'll be very familiar with who Ted is. He's one of them. This is what's good, though, because there's a few people who will only be there for the 90s crew. There's a few people I know for a fact are coming because Omega's swung the vote for them, because that's what they're into these days, and Jeff and people that kind of character. And then the beauty is you've got a handful of names as well that span over that 2000s range as well, which is just great. It's just brilliant. It's something for everybody. There's somebody there for everybody. And everybody's going to be able to meet somebody that you know, has got that nostalgia or current even sort of like
what we saw this. That's what we want. And that was the last, I suppose, piece of the jigsaw that we got from WWE. What we really wanted was, there was a, you know, a couple of guys that commented, well, you know, what is there for my kids that watch WWE at the moment? And we wanted to put some stuff in for them without stepping on the toes of the superstar signing. You know, I don't really want to go into that now, but you know, that will happen again with the current guys. So you want to keep, for the love of wrestling, to be the classic guys, the guys that have either just finished or sort of near the end. And you want to fill out the superstar signing with more of the current guys. Otherwise you're just doing the same show several times a year. But getting Jeff Hardy, Big Show and Shawn Michaels was getting those current guys. And also those, you know, each of those could be considered a headliner in their own right. You know, one of the reasons we didn't want to talk about who's the headliner this year, when you had last year The Undertaker, it was obvious he was the headliner, but to many people it would have been Chris Jericho or Ric Flair or Bret Hart. And we needed that same situation this time, that yes, we had Trish, we had Goldberg, we had Kurt Angle, but once we threw in Big Show and Shawn Michaels and Jeff Hardy, it was like, right, now there's enough headline level guys for everyone. Like, to me, Jeff Hardy was the one I've been wanting to get Jeff Hardy for so long. As a big Jeff Hardy fan, and I mean, his sales were through the roof. You know, he's the one that's absolutely going to sell out. You know, he was going to sell out in April, he's going to sell out in October, and he's the one, the guys think he's cool, so the guys want to meet him. So many of the girls fancied him and still do, because he still looks good. I mean, the guy's still a handsome guy for like 40 odd, so his sales were amazing. And same with Shawn Michaels as well, you know, similar reasons, but maybe for people like 10 years older. So getting those headline and Big Show, I saw one guy comment, when would you get to meet a giant? So again, you get that spectacle.
That's a great point in itself. When do you get to meet a giant? Just that phrase alone. On top of that, you've got the wonderful Lillian Garcia and also Shawn Michaels' Montreal Screwjob tag team partner, Earl Hebner, will be there as well. Yes. So there's an accidental duo. If you've got some Montreal merchandise that you want signing.
about that.
Oh, man. You know, especially people who met Brett last year. If anybody met Brett last year and got him to sign anything to do with the Montreal Screwjob, now's your opportunity to get the other two vital parts of the puzzle.
Get him in there, yeah.
Right, and damn right. Who else have we got? Who haven't we got? We've got the bloody Dudley Boys, man. Ah, Dudley Boys. Oh, there really is, because those two, along with Raven and then RVD last year, that's sort of ticking the boxes for my ECW infatuation that I've still got. I'm one of those. You know, you get those ones who are just us fans who just don't let it go. And whenever they do like an ECW revival style show in America, and everybody's slagging it off because of the fact that they've done about 50 of them and they're always a car crash, I'm still loving it. I'm one of them that I can't help but absolutely love it because it's ECW.
And did you see the Friday Night Wrestling show before just added Sabu as well? So we were doing Friday night, we were working with TNT Extreme in Liverpool, who were doing a bit of a warm-up show for us, and they just booked Sabu for that. I presume they're going to move him to October. And we literally just got the point where his agent had messaged saying, oh, Sabu's in Liverpool on the Friday. Do you want him at the show? And we were going to make a decision. I know he said some controversial stuff in the past, but, we were looking at, but then half of the wrestlers have, haven't they?
I was going to say, if we're going to look through it, there's some, yeah. We'll leave that one there because there's a lot of...
And I'll give you one other sneaky one that hopefully will happen. Again, can't get it confirmed, but Georgia Smith, who's bringing all the British Bulldogs in-ring gear over that she's got. She's got about 10, 15 pieces there. Amazing display. She's in a relationship with Jay Lethal. So we're just having conversations with her about getting him across. And, I don't want to go into detail, but I think we're looking at doing something maybe on the evening show. We've got Lanny Poffo as well. So, I think there's something fun that we can do there.
We know where we're going with that one, eh? Got an idea?
Well, yeah. Again, nothing's been determined, but my mind's running away with me. But yeah. I could just imagine a bit of a pop there with doing something with Lanny in the ring, and then if we get ceremony and Jay Lethal comes in,
that would be so good, man. Yeah, cogs are turning there. You've got arguably the greatest tag team that's. we're working our way through the list here, and then we get to arguably the greatest tag team, in my opinion, that's ever existed. Demolition. They're on the card. They're on the card.
Oh, I love it.
God. There's an amazing photo that's just arisen from this kid who he said, I went to school. It was a fancy dress day at school about 20 years ago when he was in eighth grade. So when they were all, little kids, and you've got people... kids around him dressed as Bugs Bunny and this, that, and the other, and Mickey Mouse and things. And he said, I went as a wrestler, but I didn't go as Hulk Hogan or Ultimate Warrior. No, I went as Axe. And he's put a spot up of him with all of the rest of the kids. And he's got a full on Demolition Gimp vest on. It's poor lad. But just when he said that,
explain that
just
one to the teacher. Oh. You know, I love the fact that they still paint their face for the shows as well. I think that's brilliant. I love
it. Incredible. And the
makes the picture better.
Well.
And
well, yeah, and the beauty is as well, with the likes of both of them, you've got multiple options here as well. It's not just Demolition. You've got Barry Darso coming and Bilidi. So there's more to Barry Darso than just Demolition, for example, than just Smash. You've got Repo Man.
Yes. Crusher Khrushchev or something, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Blacktop Bully. You've got Bilidi. You've got one of the as a machine, for example. It's just fantastic stuff. And then to top it off, we've got the Native American Tatanka. Oh, Tatanka. Absolute legend. I've been a couple of times I could have met him, but I've never been able to yet because he used to come to the UK about a decade and a half ago. He was doing a couple of the independent shows over here, and I haven't seen him since. So it'd be fantastic for him to come over.
I was really keen to get him. My girlfriend didn't really watch wrestling much when she was little, but the only one she remembered was Tatanka. And she was like, you've got to get Tatanka. So I was like, guess what? We've got him. So, I think that one will be a cool one. To be honest, the two I'm looking forward to the most, pretty obviously, but Jeff Hardy and Shawn Michaels. I mean, I've said this on our live show a few times, but for me, he's the what's my favourite is Hulk Hogan. To me, Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler in history. I totally get everyone's allowed their own opinion, but I could make a pretty compelling argument for Shawn. I think in-ring work, the athleticism, working with big guys, working with small guys, promos, different characters. A guy that he did the pretty boy gimmick. He did that as a face. He did it as a heel. He did DX, which was, it might not change the business, but certainly had an impact. The boyhood dream stuff. He did then when he came back. I think no one has sold better than him. The stuff when he came back from the back injury, you legitimately thought, he's going to seriously hurt himself here. What's he doing? amazing stuff. And I think, to me, I just can't imagine anyone better than him. I think I can't believe there is a better all-round professional wrestler, or there's ever been a better one. Again, I quite enjoy having the debates with people. When people bring up Bret Hart, so, yep, get it. But Shawn played more characters, and Shawn was more athletic, maybe not as good a pure technical wrestler, but he could do stuff Bret couldn't do. You know, you've never seen Bret, do the flips or the kind of stuff that Shawn could do, but do them believably as well. So yeah, I literally cannot wait to meet him. And I think the fact that he came back a couple of years ago for that kind of cheap match with, Undertaker, Kane, Triple H, all guys that had wrestled a lot more recently than him, and he carried the match basically, just shows what an all-time legend he is. I said number one for me, so I can't wait to meet Shawn Michaels.
You mentioned something quite interesting there as well when you said he's played a lot of different characters. The real interesting thing with Shawn Michaels is, for considering you look at every character he has been, it's been ever so slight tweaks and variations of just Shawn Michaels. I mean, with The Undertaker, no offense to The Undertaker, you've got, I don't mean it, neither way is wrong. I don't mean it like that. You know, they're both equally right. The Undertaker, went from quite extremes with his characters, very extremes, from a guy who doesn't say very much and follows the lead and builds coffins, to the leader of an evil empire that were crucifying people, to a guy who likes to ride Harley Davidsons, Whereas with Shawn Michaels, as soon as he turned against Marty, everything he's done ever since has just been a slight variation of somebody who really fancies himself, and he knows that a lot of other people really fancy him as well.
Absolutely.
and it's just little tweaks, but that little tweak has had such an impact.
And that's what the greatest do. Ric Flair the same, probably one of the best promos of all time.
Yeah,
always
exactly
played
the same
character.
Slightly, just little tweaks.
Always
just changed.
The jet fly and the limousine ride. And always played that same character, but just in different ways.
Absolutely.
and those tweaks and it when it worked
can make all the difference. And to wrap it up, the one last name on the list there, Big Freddie Ottman, Bear Tugboat, Typhoon.
Yes.
Man, I'm so looking forward to meeting Fred. We've
next
had
to the Shockmaster wall too. That's one of the prop builds we're building. So.
Well, an interesting thing that some of your listeners might not know about, and when they're wondering, what should I get signed, a figure, this, that, or the other? Fred is a big, big comic book guy. It's a good topic of conversation with Fred. Might be about that. But he's a good, good dude and such a nice guy. And I personally think he's one of the best, for me, he's one of the best Instagram content uploaders going, in terms of some of the images and bits and bobs, occasionally photos and things like that. He posts some great stuff, man, on Instagram, and some fantastic stuff. Now, with Mr. Fred Ottman there as well, another guy who has got so many variations of his character through the years, I think people forget just how... did you know that at one point, as Tugboat, he used to wrestle in blue and white stripes, rather than these red and white stripes that become synonymous. I forgot what his name was. It was something ridiculous. I can't remember the exact name that he was called by now. Typical. But it was something like Tugboat Terry or something like that.
Okay.
I remember it now. Tugboat. Bugger, it's gone up my head. But yeah, he used to wrestle in blue and white stripes. And even to the fact that Downey's exactly the same costume, the big white trousers with the stripe down the side, that was blue as well. He just looked mint. I've got loads I want to chat to him about, really, because I'm just a geek when it comes to that kind of stuff, as we all are. So one of the things I want to wrap up on, mate, is, out of everybody that you've mentioned there, out of everybody that we've chatted about there, I'm not going to ask you for your favorites, because you've gone through them in very, you've been very honest there. Is there any particular pieces of merchandise you've currently got in your collection, or that you're looking to add to your collection, that you want to take along? We'll say your top three wrestlers that you want to meet and say hello to. What items would you be taking along to get signed out of your collection, man?
Well, actually, I'll give a couple of things there. Well, I'm a Hasbro guy, so I've got I've got a few Hasbros that I've got signed. And I know there was a couple of people that said to me, what do you want to do that for? It devalues them. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to sell them. That's why, who cares? I don't sit there and go, oh no, I paid 100 quid for this Taker figure. Now he signed it. It doesn't matter to me. To me, it makes it unique. So So I've already got I picked up some of the Hasbros, some of the guys like Tito Santana, who hopefully will be able to obviously get back on. I got a Repo Man. I haven't got an Axe or a Smash yet. They're really hard to come by, but and quite expensive too. But yeah, so that's what I'm going to get myself. Gives a bit of a nice collection there. Belts have never been my thing. I know they are really big. There's Craig Payne and the guys at Europe's Home of Wrestling Belts that, you know, are the, one of our traders there, one of the guys that go and do like an exhibit of like 100 belts and all the stuff they've got there. But that's never been my thing. So two of the things I want to get signed. I know that Jay, that I do the live show with, is talking about maybe getting a stall of steel chairs and getting some of the ECW guys to sign it. So because I've got the Hasbros, I'd like to get a few, the odd piece that's signed by multiple wrestlers. So yeah. I think I'm going to get either just a wrestling poster or like a big A1 or A0 or something wrestling poster. And this time just get that signed by as many names as possible. I'll probably do that this time. And I will probably get a steel chair off Jay. I think that's a cool idea. And I'll get that signed by the Dudleys, by Sabu if we get him, by Raven. And then over time, I might just try and get the ECW guys to sign that.
Yeah.
So those are my three.
You're going to need to get RVD back again then in the future, if that's the case, man. Because now you've got me thinking as well. I've got RVD to sign. Because of how busy we were last year with Grapple Arcade Stall, I didn't have a chance to go out and get many signatures, to be honest with you. I think in the end, my colleague Paul, who's part of the team, Pablo, who does a lot of the interviews with me, he got one or two signatures. And I, in the end, last minute before we had to up and leave, well, in between me packing down, the car pulling up at the back doors there to get all the gear into the back of the car on the Sunday, and this particular, and RVD basically about to sort of leave, and he'd already left for a chunk of the day, but then he came back. So I was like, oh my God, is he coming back or not? I'm not a belt guy either, but I do have a Figures Toy Company, the toy leather belt that ECW brought out back in the 90s. Yeah. And it's a bit of a random, difficult to get hold of piece. And I came across that at a job lot about 10 years ago. And it, you know, pennies in terms of what I paid for it with the other bits and bobs that I got. And it's always been something, it's just always been sat there. And I thought, well, if I'm going to get anything signed, it's a nice piece. It's not too big and massive and cumbersome, but it's just a nice little piece to strap on the wall. So I got RVD to sign that. And it's just been a pride of place now amongst my collection of signatures and stuff. But I have got, in terms we talked about figures there, I'm a big Hasbro figure guy myself as well. That's my main collection of everything I've got. I'm also into the original San Francisco Toymakers ECW line, so I've got quite a lot of those, including the boxed ring set. So,
oh, cool!
If I can get that down without smashing it to pieces somehow in the car, amongst loads of different consoles and games and stuff, because we've got a lot of different things planned for this time. I'll try and bring that. If not, the chair idea is a bloody good idea.
Do you know what I've just thought of? One last thing we didn't speak about. Did you see the stuff with Terry Funk?
I don't know. I've met Terry Funk before. What are you talking about in particular?
So basically, we kind of put an announcement out that we were going to do an announcement that night. And then about an hour and a half before the announcement, it was Terry Funk. Had to say, we got a message off his agent saying, oh, he's got to go in for like a minor surgery. Nothing too serious, but, you know, he can't do the show. So we had to take him off the show. It was kind of the first time where we were about to put an announcement out. And we did say, look, it was going to be Terry Funk, but we've just heard he can't make it. So that's probably one we should look at again, because, you know, certainly you as an ECW guy, there's another name on a chair. If you could look at Terry Funk.
God, he can have his own. And also, the good thing is with Terry Funk as well, you've got that link in there to Chainsaw Charlie as well. So absolutely. If there was ever an opportunity to do more Foley stuff in the future and things like that, you know, if he's ever over again, because, mate.
I'd talk to Andy, look, is Mick Foley available? Because you're going to get Terry Funk. Again, it's, you know, Terry could live for another 20 years, but how often is he going to want to fly? That's the other thing with these guys. Their health might be okay, but it's, you know, once you're there in your 70s, are you that keen to get on a flight, you know, a transatlantic flight? Maybe not. So I would, yeah, I'd love to, if that happens, I think it makes total sense to get Mick Foley. I really do.
And the beauty is with that, it opens the door to, you know, you've got, once people start getting those ECW signatures as well, then they'll start craving ECW. And let you know, if we're going to be completely honest, there's a vast number of ECW alumni who'd love the opportunity to eventually come over one time in the future. And as you say, if there's enough of an audience to bring people over, then you've told us before, you know, if there's enough people who want the people, then fantastic. Yeah.
And I didn't watch it the first time round. I only kind of caught the WWE or, you know, was it the one night stand stuff and really enjoyed that. But so I couldn't tell you, would guys like, you know, I don't know who is on there, you know, someone, Nunzio or something. There's a guy super crazy. Mm-hmm. There's all these more. I mean, Tommy Dreamer, an obvious one. But I don't know because I didn't watch it how well those pure ECW guys would do, you know, the ones that maybe went to WWE but didn't really do as much in there. Someone like Raven we're always confident with because, you know, he had quite a history in both in all three promotions, really. I think Tommy Dreamer would do fine. He's been over before. Terry Funk, I think, would just a legend and beyond the mat stuff. But yeah, some of the more guys, the guys that were really just known for ECW, I'm unsure about. Sandman, maybe he would
Sandman,
do well.
I think you'd get like Sandman. I think Taz would do well.
I think Taz would do well. Yeah,
we do really, really good because he's crossed over with apart from WCW with every promotion, hasn't he? Like TNA, WWE, ECW, obviously.
Yeah, I would have no qualms getting Taz. But would a Joey Styles work?
Paul Heyman's done it before. Would be a ridiculously good name to come up. I'll tell you who's an interesting guy who's completely off the wall. A couple of guys that we've been linked in with there. Joel Gertner's quite a really, really nice guy, and you know, he's a one of those kind of guys who would probably be bang up for doing a lot of hosting and stuff as well, with him being a mouthpiece, you know. But also, you know, there's loads of people like Harry. Weirdly, we had Harry Slasher not long ago, who wrote all the theme music for ECW, and you know, all the you know, this is extreme, all that, all the intro music for all the show and everything. He did all of the music for ECW back in the day.
Shane Douglas
would be a great name. Even people, well, if there was ever an opportunity to get him, one of my all-time favorites, because then you've got an instant link in with other guys as well. Yoshihiro Tajiri, man, because Tajiri was a massive wrestler in ECW in his tag team with Mikey Whipwreck under the Sinister Minister.
Mikey Whipwreck, another one.
And what a top bloke he is as well.
Does Tajiri live in America then, or does he live in Japan now?
I don't know at the moment. He seems to flip between. There's now and again, I'll post a picture of him at the Performance Center with Regal. So I don't know if he's visiting, but then you've got the lovely link in with Regal then as well, haven't you? So it's so much potential joy with
that. Well, Tajiri would be a great one. I remember the Green Mist. He did. I used to love his. He did the sort of that flying elbow where he did the handstand and bounced his feet off the ropes. Didn't
yeah.
He?
Yeah,
I always remember there's a few moves like that. You know, when you're kind of a bit younger and you always remember the first time you've seen a new type of move.
Yeah,
and I remember that where you're looking and going, "What is that? Brilliant!"
Damn right. And there was that for a lot of people who didn't know about Muta or Japan or knew of Muta in early WCW NWA days, Tajiri was the first person that a lot of wrestling fans of a certain age will know of for Mist. He's the first person to bring Mist into the American wrestling sort of scene, you know, for a lot of people anyway. So you've got the Mist, you've got the springboard handstand elbow thing that you were mentioning there. Then there was the tarantula move as well over the top rope that he used to do to people where he used to sort of stretch them out like a surfboard over all
yeah.
of the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Man, what a guy.
The,
but yeah,
the best moves, the ones that look like they'd really hurt and actually don't hurt at all.
Yeah. Cause more damage to the person who's doing it. Than
absolute
it.
Best ones always have been.
Oh, it's cool. Fantastic. I think for me, to round off, I'd probably take an ECW ring if I could. I've also got a couple of WrestleFest bits and bobs. And
oh, cool.
It would be silly not to get certain wrestlers to sign them.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, lots to think about with that one. I'm going to have to write a new list now that I know of chairs and things like that. But, mate, listen, it's been a pleasure to have you on yet again.
Good talking to you.
Here. It's always good fun, lots of info. Appreciate the fact that you're not, you know, you're quite happy to share a lot of details and information, especially at times like this when there's been some uncertainties about what's been going on. And we are massively, massively looking forward to the end of October.
And trust me, this is all stuff, you know, like that I speak to Andy about, the owner of the event, and he's very keen on being transparent about stuff and, you know, updating people and letting them know what's going on. So, yeah, that's what we try to do.
Where can people find out a bit more information, mate, and other bits and bobs that you've got going on that might be of interest to folk?
On the page, Facebook page, Instagram page, or the wrestling group, I'd recommend they jump on all of those. That's where we share information, and we're going to be putting out a lot of stuff over the next few weeks. We've had a few chats about what sort of content we should be doing while people are off at the moment. So yeah, we're going to be putting out as much stuff as possible. So yeah, no, definitely those.
Excellent. So I know James has been doing his quizzes as well, which has been fantastic.
Jay's on the doing the quiz tonight, wasn't he?
Yeah, indeed. Oh, fantastic stuff, man. It's great. And likewise for listeners, you can check out other content of ours at bbgwrestling.com. We'll take your links to all of our previous interviews we've had with wrestlers and wrestling personalities over the years, such as people we've mentioned tonight, like Sid, for example. Go and check it out on there. There's other personalities as well, like Kevin Sullivan, who's been on the lips of a lot of people recently with certain documentaries that are out and about at present. So yeah, go and check it out, bbgwrestling.com, and we'll catch up with you all later. Take it easy, guys.